Epithet Erased. Prison of Plastic. By Brendan Blaber.
Chapter 1. Fish Out of Water. With their encounter in the alleyway behind them, the three girls dusted themselves off, transferred Molly's homework assignments into her backpack, and set off for their original destination, the beach. As Molly's best friends, Trixie and Phoenica had assigned themselves two very important best friend jobs. The first was to deliver her daily schoolwork to her. The second was to make what little free time Molly did have as fun as possible. On days where Molly wasn't at school, the other two would spend recess brainstorming places to go and things to do. Today was Trixie's suggestion. Last night, there had been a huge storm out over the ocean, and the currents had washed a bunch of interesting things up onto the beach, including a bunch of sea creatures called dunce cap nudibranchs. Dunce caps, for short. They were squiggly little critters that looked like a snail without its shell on, squishy and star-shaped with a blue and white rim. Because they had no shells, the nudibranchs would scuttle around the seafloor and pick up any wayward object that they could find to wear as a protective hat. Unfortunately, the nudibranchs were blind, so they didn't have much of a fashion sense. Dunce caps could be found wearing anything from a plastic cup to an entire pool noodle on their head. The animal was only about the size of a clementine, but they had surprisingly strong suction cups and could carry hats many times their own size and weight. The problem was that they weren't very good swimmers, which meant that their heavy hats would often send them tumbling through the currents. If a dunce cap washed up on the shore, it might be too top-heavy to squiggle its way back into the sea, hence their somewhat insulting name. It was common courtesy for beachgoers to pick up any dunce caps they saw trapped in the sand and toss them back into the water. The morning crowd had swept through and recovered most of them, but new dunce caps were washing up all the time. The beach was littered with flotsam and jetsam. If a person squinted, they could see some of them wiggling every now and then. The telltale sign of a nudibranch's hat. Trixie put one floppy-sleeved hand over her single visible eye and scanned the beach like a little pink periscope.
"Shake a leg, troops," she said. "We're on nudie duty. Until we get rid of these nudibranchs, this is a nudie beach."
Trixie delivered her joke with a little goblin smile. Phoenica stared at her with a big, offended, open-mouth codfish expression as though Trixie had just told the dirtiest joke in the world, but Molly snickered a little. Victory. Trixie's goblin smile promoted itself to a hobgoblin smile. Molly deserved to laugh. She'd had a rough week. A few days ago, their school had had a field trip at the Sweet Jazz Museum. It was mostly super boring, especially because the trio had all been assigned to different tour groups. Molly's dad was chaperoning her tour group, and apparently, after the tour ended, he had forgotten her at the museum somehow. Afterwards, a bunch of people broke into the museum. It was a big story on the news, even. Molly didn't know because her family didn't own a TV, but everybody at school certainly did. They swarmed her with questions the minute she walked through the door.
"What were the bad guys like?
Did they have any artifacts? Did anything explode?"
Molly was real shy and hated being the center of attention, but she mentioned that the bad guys hadn't really seemed all that bad in the end. She even said that she'd helped the lady who tried to steal her powers before they took her to jail. Trixie thought that was crazy. Trixie thought that lady sounded like a jerk and Molly should have punched her. That was Molly's problem. She took way too much guff. If Molly were a doll, she'd be fluffing stuffed with guff. Trixie had never been in a fight, but she never took any guff. She was a verified no-guff taker, 100% allergic to guff. Yes siree, Bob. Molly stayed inside during recess that day to avoid the questions from the rest of her class, but she told Trixie and Feeny most of what happened, mostly about how she had teamed up with a bonsai blaster who helped her. Molly described him as a nice guy once he simmered down. She wouldn't give his name or epithet, though. She just called him Boss. Trixie thought that keeping his identity on the down low was the right move. Snitches get stitches. Feeny was much more interested in the other boy who had helped Molly. Some kind of kid doctor who could make sheep? Phoenica was obsessed with sheep, maybe even more so than Molly was with bears. After Molly told Phoenica about the sheep boy, she purchased a giant bedazzled binder and immediately began planning their wedding inside of it. This was not the first time she had done this. Strangely, being assaulted at a museum wasn't the low point of Molly's week. She was actually in high spirits until a few days later when her stupid older sister said something stupid again and made her cry. Feeny and Trixie were up all night consoling her through texts. Molly's sister was the worst, and they hated her terribly. Even Phoenica, who liked almost everybody, was curt with her. But none of that mattered right now. Trixie had brought some secret weapons to the beach today, and they were sure to brighten Molly's spirits. She produced them from her scrappy green backpack.
"Okay, here's the score,"
Trixie scrambled.
"We're gonna chuck some critters back into the sea, and I've brought some special prizes for the best critter chucker."
She held the prizes in the air.
"First up, whoever finds the critter with the weirdest or funniest thing stuck to its back gets this candy-flavored lip balm!"
Phoenica oohed and clapped. Trixie had not told her about the prize idea, so this was a surprise for her as well.
What flavor?
Asked Molly.
Apple cinnamon.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Her eyes widened. Trixie mentally pumped her fist. She knew apple cinnamon was Molly's favorite. Well, second favorite. The corner store didn't sell raisin lip balm. They weren't trying to murder children with gross grown-up flavors. Molly was all about the grown-up flavors, though. Most of her dad's pantry was candy. Fun when you go over to visit. Not fun to have every night for dinner. Trixie held up her second prize, which she personally thought was the better of the two.
We also have this! For the person who saves the most critters, a special top-of-the-line potion!
Trixie lifted up a plastic sports drink bottle. The label had been ripped off and replaced with a piece of duct tape that had a skull and crossbones drawn on in silver permanent marker. Something purple and opaque swirled around inside and oozed out from underneath the cap. Phoenica frowned.
Is that another one of those icky things that you and Rex concoct in your kitchen?
Trixie nodded proudly. She and her twin brother would take random stuff from their kitchen cabinets and mix it with bugs and dirt and junk from behind their house to brew different potions. Results were mixed.
Is this one also made of perfume and ketchup?
No, that was a potion of stinky.
Trixie put her hands on her hips proudly.
That's totally different. For that recipe, you gather up a bunch of things that smell good and then stir it backwards. That takes all the good-smelling magic and turns it into bad-smelling magic.
How do you stir something backwards?
Molly asked.
You hold the spoon upside down.
Trixie demonstrated with an invisible stir. Phoenica put her hands on her hips.
I fail to see how ketchup qualifies as good-smelling.
Ketchup smells good.
Trixie said, matter-of-factly, as though it was the most obvious thing in the world.
Okay.
Molly tapped the bottle.
So what's in this potion?
Grape jelly, lemonade, pine needles, and hot sauce.
Trixie held the potion aloft like she had just picked it up in a video game. The juices inside wobbled uncomfortably and it looked ready to spill at any second.
Oh, and ladybug blood.
Phoenica let out a horrified gasp.
You squished a bunch of poor little ladybugs?
No. You just poke them and they squirt blood on you.
That isn't blood,
Feeny asserted.
Yes it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Oh, yeah?
Trixie crossed her sleeves.
Well then, Miss Ladybug expert, what is it?
Feeny froze. She quickly searched her brain for what she thought it might be and seemed embarrassed by what she found. She was silent for a moment. Then, in an extremely small voice, as if she were confessing a deep, dark secret, she said,
Pee!
Trixie burst out laughing.
No fair!
Feeny flailed.
You tricked me into saying a swear!
Pee isn't a swear!
Trixie wheezed.
Yes, it is! You tricked me into saying the pee word!
You can't censor the word pee by calling it the pee word! You're literally saying pee!
The two of them tussled uselessly like kittens while Molly quickly did an internet search on her phone in the background.
Oh, what? It is ladybug blood.
The other two gathered around her phone to confirm. It was true. There were real science articles from real scientist types calling the gross orangey stuff that ladybugs squirt out blood. Apparently they use it to protect from predators.
That's a little weird,
said Molly.
That's a lot of weird,
said Feeny.
Axolotl weird,
said Trixie.
So,
Molly cocked her head.
What does your lady blood potion do?
Oh, it's a potion of go away. If you throw it at someone, they leave you alone.
Molly and Feeny exchanged a glance.
It works,
Trixie assured.
We tested.
I want the lip balm,
Molly pointed.
Me too,
said Feeny.
Wow, okay. Well, if you guys want to be rooty patooties about it, that's fine. More for me. Anyways, the person who finds the weirdest dunce cap nudie hat gets the lip balm. Game starts in 3, 2, 1, go!
Trixie spat the countdown out in one breath and sprinted off onto the beach, digging for nudibranchs and immediately chucking them back into the sea.
1, 2, 3, 4! Hold on! No fair!
Feeny trotted after her and Molly followed behind. Trixie zipped between beach junk a few steps ahead of them, determined to win her own potion back. The other two girls were only interested in the lip balm, so they took a much gentler approach. They would separate to hunt for individual dunce caps. Then, once each of them had found an interesting one, they would compare their nudibranchs and decide whether or not the thing on its head qualified as funny or weird. If it qualified as funny, then they would snap a photo as proof before gently placing it back in the water. Finica was currently in the lead after finding a piece of sea glass that had two nudibranchs stuck on either side of it that would try to scuttle away whether it was right side up or upside down. After securing a safe lead in the nudibranch count, Trixie looped back in to join the others and they combed the beach as a trio. Trixie hadn't found any funny nudibranchs, but she did bring back a collection of tiny, multicolored starfish. She held them in front of her head like they were hair ornaments.
Hey, look at me. I'm Molly.
Molly snickered and put her hands up the same way Trixie did.
Me too.
It was extremely dumb and extraordinarily unfunny, so of course they both laughed way too hard at it. The girls split up again in search of a new round of nudibranchs. Trixie and Feeny paired off, and almost immediately they found a very silly nudibranch that was stuck in the opening of a beer bottle. It actually sort of looked like a squiggly bottle cap. They decided that this qualified as funny. Feeny took a picture of it on her phone as proof, and they spent a few minutes trying to get the little guy unstuck so they could return him to the sea. Just after they put him back in the water, Molly called out to them.
Guys?
Did you find something weird?
Trixie called back.
Kinda.
Trixie and Feeny trotted over, excited to see what Molly had found. Molly had found a dead body. Or at least, that's what it appeared to be. The man was lying face down in the sand. The most noticeable thing about the body, aside from it appearing dead, was its bizarre hair. It was a deep neon purple with bright red strands coming out from a part in the top like seaweed, almost as though some sort of poisonous deep sea creature was nestling on its head.
Are you sure he's dead?
Phoenica shivered. Molly fiddled her boots together.
I don't know.
Well, did you ask?
Molly looked down at the body.
He didn't say.
Me!
Trixie smiled.
I call the brain.
I call the police!
Finica whipped out her phone so fast that it almost flew into the water. Trixie put her sweater flipper on Feeny's shoulder.
Hang on.
Why?
We should see if he has any stuff first. Like a wallet. Or a brain.
Trixie ignored Feeny's good-natured protests and leaned down to inspect the corpse. She picked up a nearby stick and lifted up the edge of the body to inspect it like a mechanic checking under a car. There were a number of nudibranchs stuck to the man's underside, attempting to use him as a hat.
Well, I did say weirdest or funniest.
Trixie sighed. She handed the lip balm up to Molly without looking.
You win.
Suddenly, the body sputtered to life like an old lawnmower, coughing loudly. A nudibranch shot out of its windpipe and fell back into the sea. It shouted at them.
Win!
All three girls screamed. The body screamed back. Shrieked Phoenica. The body flipped around to look behind itself.
Zombie? Where?
It tossed out a hand as if throwing a tennis ball. Molly was the only one who noticed, but for just a second, something like a little black string appeared from the body's hand. Then, it vanished, like ink dissipating in seawater, disappearing as quickly as it came. The body looked at its palm.
Hmm!
Exclaimed the body.
That's not good.
This guy's not a zombie.
Trixie shrugged.
Too much skin. He's clearly some kind of squid vampire. A squidpire. Or maybe a baby Cthulhu.
Aha! I am afraid you are mistaken!
The man stood up.
I am no undead creature. I am a famous and powerful wizard! Behold!
The wizard turned and cast his hand out towards the sea dramatically, over and over again, as though he were flinging a series of invisible frisbees. He grunted loudly with each toss. If any spells were happening, the girls couldn't see them. They stared at the man. He was about 20-something years old, which to a group of 12-year-olds was the same as being 40. The self-proclaimed wizard had a dusky complexion with an undertone of ash coloring his skin, as well as a pair of jet-black sunglasses atop his pointed nose. He wore a purple jacket that might have looked snazzy once, but now it was dulled and crisscrossed with patches, including a heart-shaped patch over his right breast, the wrong side. The ramshackle jacket combined with the red fingerless gloves he wore gave him the appearance of a drifter or some strange purple hobo who might travel by boxcar. They wouldn't be all that surprised to see a bindle wash up on shore next to him.
Well,
he turned back to them.
It seems that my magic is in less than top form today. Must be some kind of surface interference from the surface world.
Phoenica's eyes lit up. She stepped out from behind the safety of her friends.
Magic?
She chirped.
You say that you're magic?
Of course I'm magic! What kind of self-respecting wizard isn't?
He flicked some seaweed off of his face.
Then this is most fortuitous indeed! I am Phoenica Felicity the 15th of the Felicity lineage. Perhaps you have heard of us?
No!
The wizard grinned. Phoenica seemed unbothered by this and politely returned his smile.
Well, my family has been around since ancient times. Every few generations, we are fated to do battle with an ancient witch. And the only way we can defeat her is by bringing together a group of magical girls. I have currently assembled 3 magical girls, and am on the lookout for 2 more. If we cannot find them, then it may be the end of the world! Would you and or someone you know be interested?
Magical girls, you say?
The wizard looked over the trio with renewed interest. His eyes danced behind his sunglasses. The lenses were inky black, but somehow his eyes themselves shone brightly through the darkness, like a candle in a tunnel, or a demon watching you sleep from some hidden corner of your room.
Do you have any special power?
I can make neato potions,
Trixie offered.
Yes, but those aren't real.
Phoenica stepped in front of her.
So, more magical girls would really be appreciated!
Hey, my potions are too real, and you can't do magic either, so what do you know?
Well,
Phoenica stammered.
I may not be magic exactly, but that's okay. You don't need to be magic to be a magical girl.
You, by definition, do.
Trixie frowned.
No, not true. Technically, real magical girl powers only manifest when the time truly calls for it. The time just hasn't called for it yet. That's all. The most important requirement is that you are pure of heart.
She turned to the wizard.
Would you consider yourself to be pure of heart?
Ha! He barked. There was an extremely long, awkward pause. The wizard grinned at them silently like a glitched character in a video game, face unmoving, eyes unblinking. Molly was the one to break the silence. She had been hanging in the back watching this strange man like a hawk from the beginning. He was weird and way too friendly and probably like 40 years old. Gross! This was exactly the kind of person street smarts for kids had warned them about! She grabbed her friends by the hand and began dragging them away from the beach.
Sorry. We have a class, so we have to go now. Bye!
Wait! Hold on a moment there!
The wizard called.
If we are indeed both magic, then it would be best for us to stay in touch, don't you think?
His lanky stride caught up to them almost immediately.
That makes sense to me!
Feeny beamed.
Feeny!
Molly hissed.
Very well!
The stranger bellowed.
My name is Rick Shades. Would you like to...
He extended his gloved hand to Phoenica.
Be my friend.
Something was wrong about the way he held out his arm. It had an unusual weight to it, as if it was traveling in slow motion, like a car in bullet time just before an accident. Feeny deliberated.
Okay! Feeny!
Molly reached out to stop her, but it was too late. The moment that Phoenica grabbed the wizard's hand, the sky tore open like blue construction paper. Beyond the sky was nothing. Nothing after nothing came bursting out. With a crack and a bang, a bolt of pure black lightning speared down, striking their handshake in a flash of cold, dark light. Black electricity crackled across their fingertips, dancing like spider legs until it spun itself together into a single string. The string wriggled and writhed, then all of a sudden stretched out as taut as an arrow. One end of the arrow shot out and pierced through Phoenica's heart. The other end speared the wizard's chest as an elated smile broke across his face like a fissure in the earth. His eyes turned as black as his sunglasses. They glowed as he flung back his head, cackling like a maniac in triumph.
The pact is sealed!
Anyways, it's nice to meet you.
He smiled. Blink. The world was back to normal. The sky was a beautiful, clear blue. Distant, cheerful families could be heard laughing upwind on the beach. The wizard's eyes weren't glowing anymore, and Phoenica no longer had a charcoal spear through her tiny chest.
What? Did that actually just happen?
No!
Said the wizard, removing his hand from Phoenica and pointing it towards the others.
Who else wants to be friends?
Molly and Trixie both took a step back in unison, dragging Feeny along with them like a rag doll.
Feeny, are you okay?
Molly stammered.
Oh, why, she's more than okay.
The wizard grinned.
She has a new friend. Me, Rick Shades, wizard extraordinaire.
What did you do to her?
Trixie demanded.
Why, nothing at all. She just helped me regain a little bit of my magic.
He lifted his finger and it crackled with black lightning, making a noise like static from an old television set. It was the same inky string of magic Molly had briefly spotted before, but larger this time. More erratic and wild.
After all, that's what friends are for!
Did you steal her magic away?
Molly frowned.
I had magic to steal?
Phoenica blinked.
So I am a magical girl? Magical girl confirmed?
Oh, no, nothing like that. Seeing as we are bosom companions, I suppose I can tell you how this works. My epithet is Soulmates!
A crackle of black lightning echoed behind him to accentuate his reveal.
Oh, goodness!
Phoenica blushed.
We're soulmates now?
Yes!
My! And here I spent my entire evening working late into the night decorating that new marriage binder for the museum sheep boy.
Oh, well! If it's a wizard husband that fate hands me, then a wizard husband I shall have!
Trixie wrinkled her nose and stuck out her tongue.
Feeny, ew, he's like 40.
Okay, wow, and also ouch,
Rick said.
First of all, I'm a dashing young guppy of but 20 years. Second, my power has nothing to do with romantic soulmates. It simply means that I keep my mates in my soul. I carry my friends with me in my heart. Literally. Here, let me show you. Phoenica, my best surface friend, tell me, what can you do?
Molly leaned in to whisper.
Feeny! Don't tell him stuff about you. Remember what Street Smarts for Kids taught us?
But Street Smarts only warned us about strangers. Mr. Rick is no stranger. He's my friend. We lightninged about it.
Yes, I am a friend!
Rick screamed.
Trust me!
Okay.
Feeny smiled.
Well, I don't mean to brag, but I am quite adept at schoolwork.
Schoolwork! Yes!
He leaned over to them.
What is that?
Molly tilted her head like a puppy.
You don't know what schoolwork is?
Lucky.
Trixie grumbled. Phoenica opened her backpack and produced some of that night's homework along with an erasable pen. She handed them to Rick.
Like these! This is language arts homework. There are a number of example sentences here. You're supposed to circle all the words with spelling or grammar mistakes.
Ah, yes! Schoolwork. On my own, this challenge for seventh graders may prove too much for me. But with the power of soulmates, anything is possible.
A staticky noise filled the air. Black, glowing light leaped out from behind the heart-shaped patch on Rick's jacket, and a matching black heart appeared on Phoenix's chest. Rick's eyes blanked out and roared with an unholy fire. He picked up the pen and, as if in a trance, began writing with a knowledge that was not his own.
I before E, except after C, or when sounding like A, as in never or way!
He cackled maniacally, a terrible roaring cackle!
Yes! Yes!
The homework was utterly defeated. It never stood a chance.
Wait a moment.
Phoenica gasped.
You're using someone else's knowledge to do your homework? That's cheating!
No, it's not cheating. You're helping me. Whatever my friends can do, I can do. That's the power of friendship.
He said the word friendship as though it were a poison that he had slipped in someone else's drink.
No!
She protested.
If you are indeed a cheater-cheater pumpkin-eater Rick Shades, then I am afraid that I cannot be friends with you!
What? No!
Thunder clapped and roared. The black string that bound Phoenica and Rick by the heart appeared again. It quivered, and then shattered like so many pieces of glass. Rick fell to his knees, shaking like a wet puppy.
My knowledge! It's gone!
Wait.
Trixie lowered her eyelid.
Your weakness is people not being friends with you?
Rick began to cry big, dumb tears into the sand.
Aw,
Molly said.
He's a loser.
Trixie squinted.
I think we should throw this one back in the ocean.
Please!
Weeped certified weenie Rick Shades.
I can't go back. I used to have so many friends. I used to be so powerful. But now I'm nothing. I'm just a poor wizard with no magic left to his name.
Oh, you poor dear!
Feeny appeared at his side and patted his back. Tears were as contagious as a yawn for Feenica, and they were streaming down her cheeks in instant waterfalls.
If you promise me that you will reform your pumpkin-eating ways, then I would be honored to be your friend, Rick Shades.
Feenica!
He cried.
My oldest and dearest companion! Thank you! I promise to never cheat on homework for a seventh grader again!
That's all I wanted to hear!
They both wept like idiots and hugged as a black spear re-pierced their hearts, forging their bond anew. Rick stood up and dusted the sand off of his dirty hobo pants.
Now! Are either of you two feeling generous enough to be frenerous?
Trixie hissed at him like an alley cat.
Come now, don't be that way. I've told you all about my powers, so why don't you tell me all of yours? In explicit detail.
Well,
Feenica offered.
Only one of us has an epithet.
And we're not going to tell you who it is.
Molly interrupted, using her powers to mute Feeny before she could ruin everything. Rick grinned.
No matter. I plan to be friends with all of you soon enough.
His head snapped from maniacal cackle to pleasant chat mid-sentence.
Anyways, you said something about a winner.
Huh?
A winner! Winning! Something about winning! That's what you said when I first woke up! Let me prove my worth to you guys. Prove that I'm friend-worthy. Who wants something? I bet I could win it better than they did. I'm very good at winning.
Then you will think I'm cool.
I think you might need some punch-ups on your friendship speeches,
Molly said.
Winning?
Trixie squinted, trying to figure out what this weirdo was talking about.
Oh, you mean the prizes. We were putting these nudie pranks that washed up on shore back in the water. Whoever finds the weirdest thing and saves the most nudie pranks wins a treat.
A treat?
Rick's eyes widened like a dog hearing someone open a bag of kibble.
Excellent! I have not eaten in days!
Days?
Asked the trio all at once.
Yes!
Oh, gosh.
Molly fumbled through her pockets.
Let me see if I have some granola bars or something.
They all rummaged through their stuff, but nobody had any snacks. Molly juggled the little green tube of apple-flavored lip balm in her hands, and Rick pointed to it.
What is that? Is that the treat?
Huh? Yeah. This was the prize. I don't think you're supposed to eat it, though.
Molly turned to Trixie.
You can't eat lip gloss, right?
It's candy-flavored. Maybe you can eat it? I don't know. I might be a potionologist, but I'm no candies doctor.
Molly turned back to see Rick sprinting around the beach. He was scooping up armfuls of nudibranchs and tossing them back in the water at speeds even Trixie wasn't able to match. He was as gentle as possible with the nudibranchs, but he was clearly in a huge hurry. After a minute, he returned to the girls.
I have saved 60 of these strange creatures! Do I win? Am I the winner? Do I get the winner's treat?
So again, this is lip balm.
Wow! Feeding me a bum! Wow, okay!
Rick shuddered with visible worry. Molly removed the cap and screwed the lip balm out to show him.
No, a balm. Balm, with an L. It's like lip stuff that you put on your lips.
Wow, amazing! Thank you!
Rick shouted, leaning forward and biting into the lip balm like it was a popsicle.
Bad!
He was crying again.
No! Don't swallow that!
It is too late!
All four of them began shaking in fear. Was lip balm poisonous? They had no idea! Feenica began hurriedly searching for the answer on her phone. Trixie was looking for literally anything in her backpack to eat, but all she had was some lint in her goopy purple potion.
Is that a drink?
Rick asked.
I have also had nothing to drink for the last 3 days, except for salt water. On a related note, I think I may be dying!
Okay.
Trixie sputtered.
So this has lemonade in it, but it's also got hot sauce, and has been sitting in my backpack for 3 days.
I don't know what any of those things are, and I will trust your judgment implicitly.
Rick smiled, reaching for the potion with all the self-awareness of a dog about to swallow a brownie.
No!
The Neo Trio shouted. Trixie snagged the bottle back.
That's a potion of go away!
Ah, I see. So the pink one is a witch. Glad you warned me. Wouldn't want my insides to go away, now would I?
He started a big belly laugh that fired out in bursts like cannon rounds. It was energetic, but entirely mirthless and more than a little off-putting. He stopped laughing very suddenly like a puppet whose puppeteer had severed the strings.
Listen to me. We are friends, correct?
Maybe?
Molly answered hesitantly.
Wonderful. In that case, please, my new friends, do not let me die.
Rick Shades fell face down on the ground and passed out, resuming his state as an unconscious body on the beach. The Nudibranchs flocked at his side to turn him into a hat while the three little girls ran around like chickens, trying their best not to have a full-blown panic attack.